And it's 12:34, and we're here as a board to review the investigation of case 20190082-AO, and to consider whether to rescind its order for summary suspension previously approved in this matter. Are the parties present to be able to be part of this? And if so, would you identify yourself? Those parties would be, on behalf of the state, Hargraves, and then, of course, on behalf of Dr. Porcharzi.
Yes, this is Mark Chester. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I believe someone muted my phone. I'd prefer to use that instead of the microphone. So let's see if that works. For whatever reason, someone muted the phone, so I'm going to turn this off.
Let me, I'll give some direction on this.
So, all right. Are you guys able to hear me?
Mr. Goodman had asked if you're not speaking to mute. So we have monitors that will mute everybody that's not speaking. If you need to speak and you join by phone and not through the virtual format, you'll have to hit *6. So if you want to go back to the phone, hit *6, you will unmute yourself. And that will take care of that.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Can you hear me now?
We actually hear two of you. So maybe mute the computer or the phone, one or the other.
All right. Now I'm just on the phone. Is this clear?
That's
yes,
perfect.
Thank you. Are you able to see me as well, waving?
Yep.
All right. And also present on another, actually through his computer and web, is Dr. Porcharzi.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for identifying yourself. And Mr. Chester, you're representing Dr. Porcharzi, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And then on behalf of the state, Mr. Hargraves? Are you on the line with us?
Seth, you're muted.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we will proceed. The parties may each have 5 minutes to present their arguments. Because this matter has been transferred to the Office of the Administrative Hearings for promptly instituted evidentiary hearings in accordance with ARS 32-1263.02D, the parties should limit their arguments to the question of whether the board's decision was procedurally appropriate. After the parties have presented, the board will deliberate regarding the party's request. Since the state is requesting this meeting, it shall go first. So, Mr. Hargraves.
Well, just a little background. Last Friday at your meeting, you voted to summarily suspend the dental license of Dr. Porcharzi pending a administrative hearing before the Office of Administrative Hearings. The order was drafted and sent out Monday. Yesterday, I was contacted by his counsel, Mr. Chester, who had some concerns. And actually, I'll allow him to address those. He had asked that whether the board would consider rescinding its summary suspension. So I asked, I did not have authority to do that. So we asked that this matter be set for hearing so his concerns can be discussed and he can make that request to you. So at this point, I'll refer to him to address it. And then if possible, I'd like to follow up after he's made his presentation to you, if that's okay.
That seems agreeable if you want to retain your time for after Mr. Chester's comments, if Mr. Chester is okay with that.
Certainly.
All right, please proceed for us, sir.
Before you run the clock, did the members of the board receive copies or a copy of the document that was forwarded to them? Got it. So I don't know if it's printed out, but it's a PDF and it's got three pages. I'll refer to those briefly while I speak, and I'll hold it up to the camera to some extent so you can see which document I'm referring to.
Okay.
First off, thank you very much, board members, for gathering on such short notice, and I'd like to thank Mr. Hargraves for arranging this. We had a very amiable call. I was notified that from Dr. Pur Shirazi of the summary suspension and looked into procedurally how things were done, and I'll limit my discussion to that. Staff was very helpful. I believe it was Miriam Thompson promptly forwarded me all the notices and the items that were in the file regarding communications prior to the meeting. And what we concluded was that Dr. Pur Shirazi did not receive actual notice of the board meeting on June 5th in which the suspension was discussed. And what happened was, as you can see from the exhibit that I'm holding up, that when the notice for the June 5 meeting was sent out, it was mailed, the stamp says May 21, so the notice was mailed out about 2 weeks before the meeting. Unfortunately, the post office at the time was forwarding Dr. Porshazi's mail literally down the street from his office. If you look at the envelope, this it says vacant, and there's a stamp here received by the board. This is the envelope, if you look at the next page, that contained the meeting notice. And we're just looking at the first two pages. So the meeting notice was mailed to Dr. Pur Shirazi's office. Approximately 3 weeks on May 1st, Dr. Pur Shirazi began forwarding his mail to a post office box down the street. And if you look at the yellow sticker from the on page 3, the last page of the document, this is an example of the successful forwarding of mail that had been going on in the month of May. And you could see by the sticker, this particular item was forwarded on June 3rd to the East Ray Road post office box. So if you look at what I'll call the Phillips envelope, you'll see that this was mailed to Dr. Pur Shirazi's office on Ray Road, and the post office forwarded it to his post office box down the street. And the reason he was forwarding his mail is because during the COVID-19, he ran into financial problems, was filing a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. The office was essentially closed, so he didn't have an office to give to the board, a new office. So he didn't change it with the board, unfortunately, but he was having his mail successfully forwarded. He had a discussion with staff on May 26th through email and learned that he needed to change his address. He went on the website on May 26th, we believe, and changed his address with the board to his home on 16th Street. So at that time, though, he was not aware of the hearing. And unfortunately, the staff member discussing the matter with him and soon after that wasn't aware, I guess, that this envelope had been returned on May 27th. So to focus back on the facts, the notice was not received by Dr. Pur Shirazi. The board got back the envelope. They stamped it received May 27th in the morning. Looking at my calendar, we then had we basically had 7 business days before the hearing in which the board did not send another notice to Dr. Pur Shirazi, either by email, which isn't statutorily acceptable, but either way, nothing else was sent out to him regarding notice of the meeting. And as a result, he did not attend the meeting. What he did, though, was on June 5th, after the matter was discussed, there was an acquaintance of his who was participating or listening to the meeting, called Dr. Pur Shirazi late Friday afternoon, told him what had happened. Dr. Pur Shirazi then contacted staff by email, and they promptly gave him telephone information. He was able to call into near the end of the meeting on Friday, June 5. However, he was told it was too late and he wouldn't be given an opportunity to speak. So in looking at the options I discussed with Pur Shirazi, I'm inclined to go to Superior Court and file an application for a temporary restraining order asking the judge to reinstate or rescind the suspension until you can have a proper meeting and hearing. However, before I did that, I thought it'd be practical to reach out, and I did, to Mr. Hargraves, and we discussed it. And one of the things that I would offer in obtaining a TRO and what I would suggest to the board is that, you know, I understand you're looking to protect the public, and probably the best way to do it in this case would be if we entered into, or Dr. Porcherazzi entered into a consent agreement, the board would rescind the suspension and put Dr. Porcherazzi's case back on the meeting agenda for the next meeting. And he would agree, or it would be in the order, not to perform any general anesthesia until further notice. And last thing, I know my time's almost up or is up. For the record, this incident was reported to the board back in November of 2019. It involved one incident of general anesthesia. Since then, Dr. Porcherazzi has not engaged in any administering of general anesthesia. And right now, he has a number of patients on his books that he wants to treat. Mainly, they're prepaid, they're redos, and he will agree that he will perform no general anesthesia on those patients until further notice.
Okay. So, thank you very much. We'll turn the time back over to Mr. Hargraves. Do you have any additional info or insight you'd like to share?
Yes. Thank you. I just want to point out one more thing. I know Mr. Chester did not address this, but in our conversation, he also brought up a concern that the board received this complaint in November of 2019, and then it wasn't until June of 2020 that you took emergency action. I think he had concerns about whether or not this actually rose to an emergency because of that delay. I think looking at the timeline, the consultant's report was dated February, and then between February and the June meeting, the board had a March meeting, a March special meeting, two April special meetings before the June meeting. So I think he may have a valid point there about, even though we didn't discuss it with you, an issue of a delay and whether or not that actually constitutes an emergency. Going back to last Friday's meeting, at the time there was a question of staff as to whether or not Dr. Porcherazzi had been notified of the meeting. Staff informed the board that it had, and it was based on that the board decided to go forward. At that time, it does not appear that we were aware that the board was made aware that the mailing came back undeliverable, that there was an address change and there was no follow-up being sent to an address that the board did have. So I understand the concerns that are there regarding the notice and also some possible issues regarding whether or not the delay of time would make it rise to an emergency. The state would recommend that the board consider rescinding the summary suspension based on those issues, agree to enter into the consent agreement proposed by counsel that would address any concerns regarding the application of anesthesia, maybe just limiting it to local application of local anesthesia until this matter is resolved, and then, you know, put it on the next board agenda for the full board to consider. Under your statutes, 32-1263.02G, it would appear that it may be appropriate to set it for a formal interview at that meeting. The board has already reviewed it once, but maybe the board could consider holding an informal interview at that time. And I'd ask that Mr. Chester be given an opportunity to kind of respond to that. But at this point, I think it would make sense for the board to consider rescinding the suspension and the subsequent hearing and bring this back for full board consideration. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. And as a point of order, I think most of us as board members are aware, for today, if there is a need for legal advice, we have Carrie Smith here on the board's behalf if we do need to have executive session or any other legal advice. So at this point, I know there's somewhat of an open question for Mr. Chester, but we'll hold on that for a moment. And just ask if there are any of the board members that have questions for either of the two parties, Mr. Chester and his client, the doctor, or for Mr. Hargraves.
This is Hero. I just have a question on a clarifying point. Mr. Chester had mentioned that the consent agreement would include not performing or not having any general anesthesia done in the office, you know, until the board has an opportunity to do a formal interview. And Mr. Hargraves had stated that he would only be performing local anesthesia. There's a distinction there that I just would appreciate some clarification on.
Yes, this is Mark Chester. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay, thank you. Yeah, in talking to Dr. Porcherazzi, I too don't understand the distinction clearly between general and local, but the sort of a middle. And I think what we're talking about is avoiding a heavy sedation, the type that requires a licensed professional, like in this case, a nurse anesthetist or a licensed anesthesiologist. So I think what he's looking for is just the local, which I understand is injections. And I believe there's some oral medication that patients could be given as well. So you're slightly higher than that, but you're on a sliding scale. You're nowhere close to heavy sedation over here, which you would get through either IV or gas. That would be my understanding.
Dr. Heron, any follow up on that?
I guess just so everybody's on the same page, there's local anesthesia. We're talking about just numbing teeth, basically. Then you can get into realms with pills, into mild sedation, and then IV sedation can be moderate. And then anesthesiologists, nurse anesthetists, dentist anesthesiologists would provide the deeper levels and general anesthesia. I guess one question or comment would be Dr. Porcherazzi's agreeing to not do something he's not licensed to do anyway at this point. He does not have the permit to bring in an MD or a nurse anesthetist, which was part of the concern regarding this case. So for him to consent to doing something he's not licensed to do, I don't know that I see the relevance of that.
If I may, and I talked to Mr. Chester about this. This is Seth. And I think he indicated that part of that would be that he wouldn't apply or seek to obtain one during this time as well. And maybe we could fix the language so make it clear that performing any anesthesia that would require a permit, he would be prohibited from doing it. He would also be prohibited from applying for any such permit until such time as the matter is resolved.
Okay. Some of that may be part of what the board can discuss. What other questions would the board members have for either of the two parties?
You know, this is McLean, and I agree that this is something he's not allowed to do in the first place. So for us to put an order that he can't do it, what is that going to do for us? I mean, he's never been allowed to have an anesthesiologist in his office in the first place.
Yeah.
So would he be allowed to give Halcyon or Valium at this time?
This is Morrow. That would probably fall under his ability to be a general dentist anyway. So you could do
so he would Valium be able to.
You do Valium, or you could do nitrous, or you could do some other things, but falls under his license at this point. But no, nothing deeper, no moderate sedation, no deep sedation, just follow within the license of what you'd have without a permit.
Right. So it's nothing. We're not taking away anything he's allowed to do anyway.
Right.
Right.
Let's do conclude the question parts for our two parties so that we can move to the board discussion. Mr. Chester, I do have a question. Dr. Porcherazzi on May 26th, according to your narrative, did update his address. When was his address no longer an effective address? When did it change?
On May 1st, he submitted a change of address card to the post office, and then approximately, you know, I believe 7 to 8 days later, the post office began forwarding mail from his railroad office to a railroad post office box down the street.
Okay, but when was his address no longer effective? Not when did he let the post office know. When did he no longer have a updated address with the board?
It's a quirk, because although he was forwarding mail from the office to the post office box down the street, he was still using that office on an interim basis. It was during the COVID, and he was only going in there certain days to meet with patients, you know, a few times a week. So,
all right,
that's the best. That's the best way to answer it. And then, after the discussion with staff or emails with staff after his bankruptcy, I believe on the 26th, he just stopped doing the mail forwarding and had everything sent to his office. I'm sorry, to his house.
Okay. Well, thank you. Board members, any other questions for either of the two parties?
So this is Dinar. I have a follow-up question to Mr. Goodman's question, if I may.
Yes.
So I think, I mean, from looking at the case file, it seems like there have been some efforts on the board's part to communicate with Dr. Pourshirazi, starting in late 2019 and in February 2020. And from what I'm hearing, the address change did not happen, or rather, Dr. Pourshirazi stopped using the address on file with the board sometime in May. So I'm wondering why there was no response from Dr. Pourshirazi in February when the board attempted to communicate with him.
Should I answer that?
Please.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Mr. Dinar, is that it? Dinar? I'm sorry.
Yes, Dinar.
Yes, I believe you're referring to the report of the findings from Dr. Harris that was emailed only to Dr. Pourshirazi. He missed the email, so he blew the opportunity to submit a written rebuttal or response to the report. Later on, when he did discover it, I think his position was when he gets his chance at a meeting, he'll, like many other dentists, he'll come to the meeting ready to respond to the report. But I think he told staff also back in late May or early June that he just saw the email then.
So it seems to me, I mean, right now, I think the there's a procedural notice argument that you're making to the board at this time. But it seems like the underlying non-responsiveness from February doesn't change, or the new notice argument, in other words, does not change the fact that the during the board's investigation, the doctor was non-responsive. So the only record that the board had in front of it from a substantive perspective was the record that did not contain any rebuttal from the doctor. And that's the record on which the board made the decision that it did on June 5th. Help me understand how your notice or procedural argument would allow the board to overturn the substantive decision that it took on June 5th.
Well, I think it's based entirely on the first thing I said when I spoke, and that is he did not receive notice of the meeting and an opportunity to speak before the board before a decision was made. By not responding to an email in February, it didn't deprive the board of any information. What it did was he deprived himself of the opportunity to submit a written response to the report. For the conclusions. So it wasn't like he failed to show up for a meeting or failed to provide information that he was required to provide. He just didn't respond to it because he didn't open the email. And I don't have the rules in front of me. I don't know if email, again, is proper service for that type of report, but that we're not contesting that it wasn't properly sent to him.
So it is my understanding that the staff, whenever it communicates with the doctor, they send a physical mail to the address that's on file, which in February you're confirming that the address was an address that the doctor used and would have had access to the mailbox at that address, etc. So my understanding is that the staff sends physical mail and also follows up by email. Maybe Mr. Edmondson can correct me if I'm wrong. But it seems like in February, when the communication was sent to Dr. Pusharazi, it would have been in the normal course of the board's operation, been sent by both mail and email. So from what I'm hearing, maybe, you know, he didn't look at the email in time, but the mailing would have happened in February and he would have been on notice that there is a pending matter before the board. So I wonder at that point, why would the doctor ignore something as substantial as that?
Well, again, I don't know if ignore is the proper word. I'm looking at the cover letter. It says March 27th, and it's from Selena Acuna to Dr. Pusharazi. And he did not receive this report by mail. It was emailed to him, and he did not see the email and didn't open the email until June. But it does say the board will proceed with adjudicating the case, but that doesn't mean he still shouldn't be afforded proper notice of a meeting or hearing.
Yeah, and so the 10-day notice to the Board of Licensing is the standard and the requirement for the licensee, and we appreciate the insight on some of the complications, and we don't wish any ill upon anyone when it comes to serious matters of their, you know, practice closure or suspension, bankruptcy. I think we are getting a little off the topic here, though, because it really is, are we in a spot where we're going to uphold the previous board decision where we're going? So as board members, do we have any other questions that are related to the question at hand, or are we ready to move on to discussion?
Mr. Goodman, this is Mauro.
Yeah, please.
I'm gonna stay away from the questions about the procedures and all the other stuff. However, would it be rational if there was a death in an office that was caused partially by actions that were caused in an office, that you would want to make sure that all the parties knew everything? If I get anything from the board, I'm calling, I'm double checking. I don't mean to bring a personal item up. I was subpoenaed for some records for another dentist yesterday. I called the attorney for the board yesterday. I called Mr. Edmondson. I then took the paperwork. I had my office manager process it, and it'll be sent off Monday as soon as I put my signature on it, because it's important. Now, that was just for an issue with another dentist, not a death in my practice. That's what I'm hearing. And I'm not hearing an urgency. I'm not hearing concern. And frankly, I'm hearing a lack of concern until after we've done everything we possibly could do. We had 15 board members discuss an entire case that Dr. Pusharazi wasn't even there for, because he didn't notify us of his new whereabouts. You know, we're a licensure. And so that's my concerns.
Let's do proceed to that part of the discussion for the board discussion. Thank you, Dr. Mauro.
Actually,
go ahead.
If I may, this is Seth. Can I just interject for a moment? The board seems to be taking attention to the fact that he did not file a response to the consultant's report, and he didn't notify the board of an address change. I think it's important to note that neither of those issues what the board put into the reasons to summarily suspend and go to hearings. I think it would be improper for the board to be focusing on those two issues right now, because that's outside the scope of why you sent this to hearing. As far as, you know, yes, he was not present at last week's meeting, but it appears that he didn't receive notice of it. The board, either the, I believe it was the day after the mail came back and returned, did have a change of address. The board did know of a new address. I believe it was by May 28th. So there was time at that. From there forward, the board technically knew that he did not receive notice. There is case law that stipulates that with that knowledge, the board should have made an additional attempt to give notice once you knew that he didn't receive the notice. And at that point, even though possibly the address change didn't go to the appropriate section to notify compliance that's handling the case that there's a new address, the information was within the board. So technically the board had knowledge of a new address and could have provided notice to that address. The fact that that didn't happen, I think holding that against Dr. Pourshirazi, you know, granted he should have notified the board sooner, but the board could have re-notified. And I think that that would be an issue, whether in the TRO or at a summary suspension hearing, that could be detrimental to the board.
Okay, thank you. So on to the board discussion. I just, as a point of note, I find it interesting. We actually have two attorneys that are making a case for Dr. Pourshirazi at this time. And that seems interesting, that kind of how this is playing out. But our goal, our role as a board is public safety. I personally understand, oh, wait, you knew about this at that time. Why is it an emergency now? Understand some of those arguments. What is the board's view, those present, of protecting the public now? We can't go back and act in the past differently. Is what we've already decided the right course? And if so, should we uphold what we have? Where is each of the members at? What are your thoughts?
This is Dr. Morrow. So I'm agreeing with Seth, even though I had my little rant. That was my frustrations. I think everybody deserves their day of, in court. I don't think that his general dentistry was ever called in question. The only thing that was put in question was his conduct, his decision making. So are we limiting any questionable practices? Yes. Can he practice dentistry safely? I assume so. So I kind of agree with that, as long as, and I'd like to hear from Ryan just as about staff and their perspective and how we handled the situation. Did Seth pretty much cover that well enough for us to be able to get all the information, Ryan?
Terry, am I allowed to comment on this? I think it's, yeah, she's nodding her head. So I think staff, let me just give you the staff perspective as I see it, and then if you have questions, I'm happy to, or Miriam may have to jump in. But so we got the complaint. Well, actually, we got a complaint, but we also had an adverse occurrence reported by Dr. Pourshirazi himself in November. We assigned it out. We received an investigative report, as you know, by Dr. Harris in February. I don't know the exact date, but in an effort to give Dr. Pourshirazi an opportunity to appear before the board, we did not set it for March 6th. As you know, COVID-19 hit immediately after that. We held, and from the point that Governor Ducey started declaring the state of emergency, I was supposed to take two vacations. I never took them. And the only thing staff and I did was work on getting information out to the licensees, working with the board, making certain that the website was up to date on the most current information coming out of the governor's office. Everything that we did was almost related to COVID-19. So the two emergency board meetings were literally, we weren't thinking in any term of any case at all, except for getting through the current pandemic. So the first available meeting that Dr. Khosrowshahi's case would have gone to the board would have been May 1st. As you know, Governor Ducey lifted the stay-at-home order effective April 30th. So the first opportunity that licensees, including board members that are on the board, could go back to work was May 1st. That meeting was therefore canceled. So I believe then we were able to get the information out timely. We put it on the next available agenda, which happened to be June 5th. He changed his address with the post office on May 1st. He didn't notify the board within the 10-day requirement till May 28th. I don't know what would have caused him, what would have triggered a May 28th response when we contacted him on May 20th. We sent notification. It came back, as you saw in the information that Mr. Chester provided, that said vacant. Just as a courtesy, like we do for everybody, something comes back. We have a poor address. The only way to get to in contact with him was through email. We sent that out. I mean, he's the one, like Dr. Morrow said, that has a case before this board that includes the death of a patient, and the email from a board isn't of concern is a concern to me. And he had an opportunity to appear. He didn't. And in my opinion, the attorney that was present, not Mr. Chester, but the attorney that was present during your board meeting did what I call ambulance chasing, which is probably a reportable ethical violation. He contacted Dr. Khosrowshahi probably to try to get the case. And that is how Dr. Khosrowshahi ended up finding out about the matter being on. And then I went to the effort to try to get him heard during the board meeting. I contacted Seth. I contacted your board chair, who is still Heather, but absent today. And we brought it before the board, and the board collectively decided not to hear from Dr. Khosrowshahi because the matter had already been heard. The complainants who were on the phone today listening in were now off the phone. And I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Can I make one quick comment?
That would be up to the board.
Go ahead.
Sure. And this is, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say something after Mr. Morrow's comments, but held off. But I think Mr. Edmondson, a couple critical facts that you didn't mention were that in May, specifically May 26th, staff and Dr. Khosrowshahi exchanged emails. So Dr. Khosrowshahi did not have his head in the sand completely. He actually, after his bankruptcy filings, reached out to the board and explained, I filed bankruptcy. What, if anything, do I need to do? And they said they'll talk to staff, get back to him. So there was an email exchange. And that's at the time when he realized he would change his address to his home. He didn't have an office at that time. And I'm not blaming staff at all because it's apples and oranges, but during the course of those communications about the bankruptcy and changing address, nothing came up about the meeting, you know, so it wasn't like he was.
Yeah. And actually, I'm actually grateful that you brought this point up because on the 26th, he's telling us about bankruptcy. He's likely not going to be in his office. Nothing to the effect that he changed addresses back on May 1st. He says nothing to the compliance staff that's dealing with the case that's coming before the board. And then on the 28th, he decides to contact staff, entirely different staff, that's essentially administrative assistants that take incoming mail, don't know every case that's going before the board, and does an address change with a different area of the office, and never once thinks, I probably need to notify the compliance staff. I changed my address, and I got an issue coming before the board at some point. He only notifies administrative staff when he had an opportunity to do it on the 26th.
Yeah. So any other board members with discussion on this?
This is Dinar. I actually was wondering if we could do an executive session for legal advice.
Is that a motion for that?
Yes, I move that we enter into executive session for legal advice.
McLean seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So, Mr. Aye. Edmondson, you'll send us a link for that?
I will right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You can log off this.
Roger.
Ryan, do you want me to stay?
I need staff to go to the executive session that I'm going to send it to right now.
Okay.
So for any board members still here, I just sent the login for the executive session. Go ahead and hang up from this one and I'll see you in executive session. Sorry.
We're coming back from executive session. Wait for the board members to be present again. Given our limited number of board members, should we be doing another roll call, or at least somebody from staff identify us that everybody's logged in?
I'll take a look.
Thank you.
So it looks like Marilyn's here. She's muted. Everybody's muted. And I think we're waiting for Mr. Dinar. Let me double check.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay. So I think we're just waiting for Mr. Dinar. And there he is.
All right. So from the looks of it, we have our quorum back present. We're returning from executive session. It's 1:42 p.m. on June 12th, 2020. And we'll resume the special session or special board meeting. And so we're back into board discussion. Board members, comments, questions, thoughts, ideas at this point, or motions?
Yes, I have. This is McLean, and I just, before I make a motion, I would like to know, can I ask if they would consider giving up all types of sedation until we have an inviting back for a formal board or for a formal interview? Would they be willing to do that?
This is Harold. I think we need to clarify sedation because I think we're talking about a couple different things that may not mesh with what's in the rules and regulations. So Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong with any of this, but just so all the board members are clear, there's nothing in the rules or regs that talk about prescribing Halcyon or Ativan as falling into a requirement to have a permit to sedate. So if we're talking about sedation with regards to a 1301, 01, 02, 03, or 04, that does not include the ability to prescribe Halcyon or Ativan. It also does not include the ability for a general dentist to work with a dentist, anesthesiologist, or oral surgeon and have them provide the sedation while the general dentist performs the treatment. So I just need that as a point of clarification for our discussion so that everybody's understanding what we're talking about.
Right. And the reason that I even bring this up is we all were in agreement that maybe he's not making some good decisions. And so if he were not allowed, other than local anesthesia, to give any type of sedation to be able to do dentistry, then I would be willing to rescind. I don't know about everybody else.
I can only speak for me. My preference at this point would be that we rescind and then set up a meeting next week. Then the notice discussion, all of that's off the table, and then we can have the board deliberation discussion, hear the points, and act quickly in this case. And what looks to be the fastest route would be rescind and then have a new meeting next week with notice to discuss the case again. That's my take.
And this is Morrow. I'm a big proponent of letting those who have our best interest at heart following those interests. I know Seth wouldn't put us in the wrong direction. So I propose that we follow direction from Seth because he's the one that has to adjudicate this legally. And it kind of goes along with Mr. Goodman's suggestion as well. So that's my thought process as well, as we have people who are looking out for us and our board, as well as legal ramifications that can go along with not following those things. So,
you know, this is McLean. I would tend to agree with that.
I would agree as well. This is Dinar.
So what, can we make a motion just that Seth, can you give us your suggestion one more time so I can make the motion based on that?
Well, it kind of depends upon what you're looking at doing. I know there was a proposal made by Mr. Chester to, if the board is agreeable, to enter into a consent agreement. But putting that aside, possibly the board rescinding its prior vote to summarily suspend and to vacate the hearing and remand back to the board for further discussion.
And that further discussion could be a special meeting next week.
Or that's entirely up to you.
Okay.
Or the
or bring it back at our
would be a formal interview.
Yeah, we could bring that back at our next meeting.
So let me see if we got the terminology right, Seth. It's to rescind the previous board order to summarily suspend and to, what was the next part on it?
Would vacate the hearing and remand back to the board.
Vacate hearing and refer back to the board for a few at our next board meeting.
If that's what you want to do, and maybe make clear what you're looking at doing at that next board meeting.
Okay.
Like a formal interview.
Bring back for a formal interview. Refer to, well, give me 2 seconds. All right.
So. And would your motion, I'm sorry to interrupt, would your motion also include the practice limitation that Dr. McLean and Dr. Harrow mentioned?
Well, I think Harrow and McLean had two separate things. Dr. Harrow wants to maintain that he's not going to do anything that requires a permit. McLean wants to eliminate his ability to provide any sedation, including nitrous. It would be a sedation policy as well. Nitrous and Ativan and any others that any general dentist can use as done properly, but you can't mix them. That's something that would require a sedation permit. So
that's right.
I was just trying to give context to everything so we were on the same page. I'm not necessarily of one opinion or the other.
All right. So this is Morrow. You know, I propose that we make a motion to rescind the previous board order to summarily suspend, as well as to vacate so we can have a hearing in for future board meeting and a formal interview for Dr. Pardocchese. What's his? I'm sorry.
Porcherazzi,
sorry, sir, for Dr. Porcherazzi at our next upcoming board meeting. That's sufficient? How'd I do, Carrie? All right.
Did you mention anything about not performing any type of sedation without a permit?
I would say, and making and to further incentivize, understand that he's limited to the practice of general dentistry and not using any permits that he doesn't have present.
McLean seconds that.
Okay. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second discussion.
Yes, one question. I'm sorry. It'll be quick. It was last time it was agendized for review and discussion. Are we able to move that to a formal interview, or do we need to meet again as a board to review and discuss and then offer a formal interview?
So the way I understood the motion, it was to rescind, vacate, and remand to the board for a formal interview.
Yep.
And then you guys can do a separate motion if you want to have a meeting between now and August 7th, or otherwise it'll be on the August 7th agenda.
I think a formal interview probably is the best next step. I mean, that
we've talked
about it. I want to make sure
I agree
here. Go ahead, Ms. Smith. So we can't hear you, Ms. Smith.
Here comes the, I'll copy the. There's the phone's connection, Carrie.
While we're waiting, can I just say that we have shown some ability to give Dr. Porcherazzi the ability to state his case before the board. I'm just hoping that those that were present last time to state the opposite can be present. And if not, that maybe it needs to be a different date even or whatever. And in particular, I would like to have, I think it was Dr. Harris that was here to respond to anything that Dr. Poshirazi brings forward that we didn't hear the first time.
And so that will be at our regular board meeting, and that will be pretty safe as everybody showing up.
Well, except for Dr. Harris. I don't know what his availability is.
Sure.
Yeah. For in the discussion part, we do have an open question for counsel. Carrie Smith, did you get into the call here? Yeah.
Star six.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. While we're waiting, I'm of the opinion, just my view, that waiting for the next meeting isn't in the best interest of protecting the public. I think we have somebody that, at least what we know at this point, hasn't acted always in the best interest of the safety of the public. So it will be my intent to vote no on this issue. But, you know, of course, that's why it's important, not just me.
This is okay. Morrow. I'm going to read into the record that Ms. Smith typed in on the chat. My recommendation would be to make a motion to rescind, vacate, and remand contingent upon receipt of a signed ICA for practice restrictions prohibiting him from performing any procedures that require a sedation permit.
And for the record, ICA is interim consent agreement.
Okay.
Dr. Morrow, would you like to amend to that motion?
I think that was pretty much my motion pertaining that he go into the ICA and make sure he wasn't using a sedation permit. Okay. Like I said, as long as he does those things, I think he can be safe. He's probably been safe for many years as a dentist and performing and serving his patients, because really, you know, he has patients that need work. And this is his livelihood for the next, you know, couple of months. To be able to restrict that, he made a diligent effort to come back, whether it be because of our issues of not notifying him properly, whether it be email or whatever it may be. But at the same time, upon suggestion of Seth or counsel, I think it'd be smart to just go ahead and make sure we can get this done. We have him in for a formal interview. Everyone can have their day in court. I don't think there's a concern about immediate concern about patient safety in terms of his dentistry. I think the issue had to deal with sedation.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yep.
So since there's been a motion and a second, let's save that. You can I add that in if you want, but let's do the vote first and then we'll cover some more of those things in a moment.
Yeah.
Goodman?
No.
Dinar?
Yes.
Hero?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Seaman?
Yes.
All right. So looks like our vote is 5-1 with Goodman as the no. Do we have any other motions for today on this matter before we conclude?
Not from me.
Do
you guys want to do another meeting before August 7th? I guess that would be the only other motion.
My biggest concern about that is being able to make sure we get a quorum, make sure we get Dr. Harrison, and having the ability for most of the board to hear this case. Because most of us heard it originally, and I think that everyone needs to have a say in this if they'd like to. And putting a meeting too quickly is going to eliminate some of the people's abilities to be here for it. So that's my biggest concern.
Okay.
And my schedule is full. There's no way I could do it.
Okay.
She's cleaning teeth. She's backed up 6 weeks.
Well, so thank you to everybody who was a participant in today's meeting and for your involvement and availability. Do I hear a motion to conclude?
I move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Morrow second.
Second. Yeah, there you go.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for your 15 minutes.
Ryan, I'm going to... quickly call you, so I'm off the record here on this one. All right.
Okay, I'm going to make sure everybody's off because I need to get the audio, and in order to get the audio, everybody has to be off.
That's so fine.
I'll take the call here in a moment.
Cool. Take your time.
Thanks.
Why don't you call me when you're ready? You muted again.
Carrie's calling me right now, so I'll take her call and I'll call you in a second.
Yeah, no worries. Mine's more informative than anything.
So. Okay, sounds good. All right. Hey, Carrie. How are you? You're all right. We still have people. You know what it was, probably? If you look at your keyboard, there's an F5 key, and you might have hit that. Or it's always, because a lot of times people always have their PCs muted for whatever, you know? So.